Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we pray, Lord, that we would just hear them this morning. And even though it may be simple for us to understand, but we need to get this stuff in our hearts, get your words in our hearts so that we can live a life for you. And we just pray that we would do so. And Father, we pray that you would bless the messages today in both the youth group and in the Rensselaer Church and here when Pastor gets here today. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Yeah, we're in chapter 2. And we got through verse 16 last week. The Bible says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And again, we've gone over this, this whole world system, and it's the earth too. The system that we live under and the earth will one day pass away. And the system that we live under will pass away when Jesus Christ comes to take over the kingdoms of this world. And he's going to do that at his second coming. And that's right at the beginning, end of tribulation, beginning of the millennium. He comes back at the end of the tribulation and the millennium starts. That system is no longer here anymore. That's gone. The devil system, the god of this world, gone. He gets to come back for a short season after the millennium, but his system will no longer be here, okay? It'll be the Lord's system. But at the end of the millennium, that is when the heavens and the earth will pass away, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and that's what we're looking forward to. Praise the Lord for that. It's this regeneration that we were talking about last week. And you can look and what goes on in the world, folks, and see that things are getting older, right? Things are not what they used to be. And one day it's going to pass away. If you look at the 60s, 1960s, and you look at the 80s and the 70s, things are constantly changing. Things are constantly passing away. And Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians. We'll read that. 1 Corinthians 7:31. Paul mentioned this. He does. 7:31, the Bible says. We'll start in verse 30. "And they that weep, as though they that weep not, and they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not, and they that buy, as though they possess not, and they that use this world, not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." It does. You look at the fashion statements. I mean, the 60s, they used to have the bell bottoms. I don't see that, you know, I don't see too much of that anymore with these bell bottom jeans. And now you have the earrings in the nose and the earrings in the ears and all these piercings all over the body. And that'll go bye-bye too. And somebody else will come up with another fashion. And it passes away. And the world is going to pass away. And so that's one of the reasons why we're not to love it. Because it's not going to be here very long. It's not going to be here very long. But God is going to be here forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be here forever. And the Holy Spirit's going to be here forever. And that's what we're to love. Because he's going to be the one that's around. But we still have to live here. And Paul talks about using the world. We can use it, but he says don't abuse it. Don't abuse it. And to abuse the world would be to love it. That's what abusing it is, to love it. We have to live here. We have to use the things that are here for mediums of exchange and all this other stuff. But we don't have to love it because, folks, really, it all boils down to if you love the world, you can't love God because we talked about it last week. Your eye sees as one. And if your eye is on the world, both eyes are on the world, even if one eye is on the world, the other eye has to be on the world because you can't look at two things at one and do the same. It sees as one. So you're a cyclops. Right? Right? That's what you are, a cyclops. But anyway, and so it all boils down to that. If you don't love God, you cannot love your neighbor. You can't. You can't. Because you'll be too interested in the world. And when you're interested in the world, you're not loving God. You're not loving your neighbor. You're loving yourself. And that's what this is all boiling down to here. And that's why John is brought this up. Because it's our love for the world that is going to affect our relationship with God. And it's going to affect our relationship with our fellow man. And it is. And it does. Think about it. We're under a system right now that keeps us our chin right above the water. I mean, some of us are just breathing out of our nose, right? But we're under that system. And it's like you're clawing and scratching just to make ends meet. And when you have to claw and scratch to make ends meet, especially under the system of finance we're under, where the banks lend out money, right? You've got the Fed, they print all this money, but they never print the interest. The interest is never printed. Because if they had to print the interest, they would have to give that away, and they're not about ready to do that unless you don't work, right? And they don't print the interest for those people either. They tax us. That's what pays for that. But if for that system to work, they would have to print the interest and put it in circulation so people wouldn't be crawling and scratching and jumping all over and crawling on the back of another person just to keep a job. And that's not loving the neighbor. When you have to cut somebody else's throat to keep yourself alive, how is that loving thy neighbor, right? It's not. And so we need to look at that world and use it, not abuse it. Love God and love our brothers and love our sisters and love others. The Bible, and that's what the Bible says and it commands. And so, but again, the Bible says here in 1 John. Let's go back there. 1 John. I got off on a little tangent there. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Okay, and so, again, the world's getting older, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Where? Anywhere but the lake of fire. It's anywhere but the lake of fire. If you have believed on the name of the Son of God, that's the will of God. That's the will of God. It's for a person today. That will prevent you from perishing in the lake of fire. What does the Bible say? For God is not willing that any should perish. If he's not willing that you should perish, it's his will that you live. It's his will that you live. And that's the will of God, by which God gives a person eternal life. Look, if you would, in John 20. John 20. Again, we're trying to understand what John is saying here. And in order to divide this properly, we have to... you can't just say it's the will of God for you to do this to abide forever. Because, I mean, seriously, when you start analyzing, you can say it's the will of God for you to not to love the world. But Christians can love the world at times, right? So does that mean you don't get to abide forever because you love the world for 2 days or 3 days out of the week? Right? That's not what it's talking about. For you to abide forever, and that's out of the lake of fire, because there you die forever. Well, you're going to abide there. Somebody will abide there. But I mean, for you to abide forever, I mean, that's doing the will of God. John 20, 31, the Bible says. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And so when you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe on Christ the Son of God, that he's the Christ the Son of God, you're going to abide forever. That's a commandment, folks. It's a commandment. And so doctrinally, the will of God is that everyone will believe on the Son of God and get saved, saved and abide forever. Okay? Abide forever. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And again, this is just, it's, the Bible is just over and over again. And we got to learn it. And we got to keep it in our hearts and keep it in our minds. And that'll help us live a life for Jesus Christ. And verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, doctrinally, as you read this, you're in the present tense. And as you read through your, and that's how it is, as you read through your Bible, you're in the present tense. And so when the Bible says it is the last time, it's talking about right now, folks. That's what it's talking about. And what is the last time? It's the time before the world passes away. That's what it is. The time before the world passes away. And so we're going to be able to apply parts of this, all of this verse to a part of time. We're going to be able to apply a part of this verse to some of the time. Okay? And it's separated by a comma. It's separated by a comma. And so when we read the passage of Scripture, the Bible says, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, right? Let's read this out. As we have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Where did we hear this? Where did we hear this? He's not called the Antichrist. It's the person that's going to come is not called the Antichrist in Daniel. In Daniel, and he's not called the Antichrist by Jesus. We've never heard it this word by Jesus before, right? We've never heard this by Paul, because the only place that Antichrist is brought up is in 1 John and 2 John. That's the only times you ever hear about this word. Look, if you would, in Daniel 9:26. Daniel 9:26. I mean, that doesn't mean we haven't heard. 9:26. The Bible says it, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince, now, you see this word? The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Right? Here you find this. There's a person called a prince. And what comes with him? Destruction. Destruction. Look, if you would, in verse 27. There's another one that's called prince here, and that's the Messiah. That's the Messiah. The Bible says, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous time. This is plural times. Okay? So you've got Jesus called a prince. But you've got somebody else called a prince. And Jesus is going to restore things. And this other prince is going to bring destruction. It's going to bring destruction. And so, he brings destruction to the sea. So, who's this prince of the Messiah? Who's the Messiah of the prince? Jesus Christ. Who's the other prince? That's the Antichrist. That's the Antichrist. Even the devil. Even the devil. And so Jesus calls this person the prince of this world. He does. John 14:30. So Jesus does mention this. He mentions this fellow. 14:30, the Bible says. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. This is Jesus talking. For the prince of this world cometh. Okay, so we know somebody's coming. Right. And hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Arise, let us go hence. So, folks, Jesus is God. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you should know this. You should know this. And Paul refers to this person as the devil. Not Jesus Christ, this prince that Jesus just mentioned. He refers to him as the devil, the god of this world. Jesus says he's the prince of this world. And so that's found in 2 Corinthians. And I'm going somewhere with this. 2 Corinthians, I hope. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Sometimes you write things out and they don't make sense. The Bible says, and Paul calls him the god of this world, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. And so you can kind of see here that the devil gets credited with certain titles, just as Jesus Christ gets credited with certain titles. Jesus is called the true light. Why is he called the true light? Because there's a false light out there. There's a false light out there. And the devil and the Antichrist are that false light, folks. They're that false light. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Christ. And the Antichrist, even the devil, are called false Christs. They're called false Christs by Jesus. He mentions them. Look, if you would, in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 23. The Bible says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." And we know that these false Christs are going to appear at a certain time. Now, maybe they're here now, these false Christs. Now, when I say false Christ, I'm talking about two beings in particularly. And that's the devil and the Antichrist. And they're going to be as one during the tribulation. But Jesus, he's the Son of God. And he mentions those that are lost as the son of perdition. He does. Okay? So if you're not a son of God, you're a son of perdition. Now you're saying, well, that's just the Antichrist. No. No, it's not, folks. It's not. Now Paul may be talking about a certain individual when he says the Antichrist, or John may be talking about a certain individual when he says the Antichrist shall come. And Paul may be talking about a certain individual when he names the son of perdition. And when Jesus names those that go into perdition. But if you're not a son of God, you're the son of perdition. Look, if you would, in John 17:12. Why did I put this one here? Yeah, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That the scripture might be filled. Is that fulfilled? And so, Paul mentioned this son, he mentions a son of perdition that will be revealed after a falling away. But here we know that this is Judas Iscariot. But there's going to be a son of perdition, and that one comes after the falling away. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Paul mentions him here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so this is a specific individual, right? This son of perdition. But folks, if you're not saved, you're a son of perdition. And you're an antichrist. Look to read John again. John 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, antichrist shall come. Right? We know that's one particular individual. Some say it's Judas Iscariot that comes up from the dead. I don't know. I can't really prove that. But I will say this, that there's somebody coming that is called the Antichrist. The Bible says so. And it's a singular person. But look at what John says. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Right? So, folks, if there are many Antichrists walking around, I mean, it could be anybody that ends up that position as the Antichrist that shall come. It could be any of them. We don't know who it's exactly going to be. It's not revealed until the tribulation and who that's going to be. He's not going to be revealed. But we did hear that the Antichrist shall come by Daniel. And we did hear by Jesus that there were going to be false Christs. And Paul did use the son of perdition. And so there is different terminology or different words used to describe Antichrist. So we did hear about it, right? We did hear about it. But John is the one that actually uses that word, the Antichrist. And it shows up only 5 times in your Bible, and 4 of those times are in the book of 1 John. And one of them is in 2 John. And I mean, we can go to, you see here too in this verse, and then you've got another one in verse 22, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ, he is Antichrist. Right? Anybody that denies that Jesus is Christ. And that's talking about unsaved people, folks. Unsaved people, not saved people. Okay? But there's only one Antichrist that shall come, and that will fulfill the scripture Daniel warned about. And there's only one Antichrist that will come that will fulfill the scripture Jesus talked about. And there's one Antichrist that will come that will fulfill the scripture that Paul talked about. But there are many Antichrists right now on this earth, in this present tense, folks, because there's many people that have denied Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they're Antichrist. And John points that out. He points that out. And so when you read this passage, you're reading it in the present tense, and you're seeing that there's many Antichrists here. That's what the Bible says, folks. Now, during the tribulation, when the Antichrist is come, we're talking about that singular individual, won't there be many Antichrists then? There'll be many people that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, right? And so right now, as we read this verse, there's one individual that's going to come, and there's many that are here. In the tribulation, there's one individual that has come, and there's many there. In the millennium, there's a comma there. That verse is already, that part of that verse is already taken place in the millennium. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, he already came. If you're in the millennium, there's going to be people in the millennium that deny Jesus Christ. You see how this is applying to the last time? The last time is before the earth passes away, folks. It's before the earth passes away. And so there's going to be antichrists in the millennium that deny Jesus Christ. And when the devil is loosed, he's going to round them up, and they're going to come after Jesus Christ. Why? Because they don't believe that he's God. If they did believe he was God, why would they go against him? Because he's going to destroy them. And the only reason why they would go against Jesus Christ at the end of the millennium is because they don't believe what he says, and they don't believe who he is. And folks, that's the Bible. Now, look, if you would, in moving on in verse 19. The Bible says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Folks, everyone, every man, and when I say man and woman, they have a conscious mind, they can think, and they've been shown some things by God. Okay, I'm not talking about babies that can't think, and I'm not talking about people that have no mind and never had a mind. Okay, I'm talking about people that have a conscience; it's been activated. Them are men, them are women, them are children. That's my definition. Okay, I'm defining that right now. Everyone, every man, every woman, every child, or every child. Again, conscience, they have a conscience. They start out in the right direction. Okay? They do. And some stay on that right path, but many, many go out from us. Who's the us? Those that stayed on the right path and those that have trusted in Jesus Christ. Okay? Everybody starts off on the same path. And this verse is not talking about people in the church that leave the church and move to a different place in the country, folks. It's talking about somebody that knew God. They knew God. Those that are believers know God. Those that have not taken that path knew God. They knew him. They didn't glorify him as God. And they weren't thankful. And they became vain in their imaginations. Romans 1. And so this is talking about somebody that knew God. And those that are believers, they do know him. They do know him. And they are the ones that continue in Christ. They're the believers. And those that didn't, and they went down a different path, whatever it was, the imagination of their mind, and that's what it was, we know that, and they started worshiping the beast, and they have denied God. They have denied Jesus Christ. And those are the people that are antichrist, folks. They are the ones. It's not saying here that you have to stay going to the church you started with when you believed in Christ. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about saved people and unsaved people. And everybody started out in the same direction, having some knowledge of God. Everyone. Okay? And so it's important to understand that. Otherwise, you end up being like the Fundamental Baptist today. Right? And what do the Fundamental Baptists say? They say that if you're saved, you'll do what we tell you. You'll cut your hair short, and you'll wear a dress, and you'll do exactly what we tell you in all our little tiny rules that we have and our little traditions that we have. And if you don't and you leave us, well, then you were never saved to begin with. And that's how they keep their little control over people, and they preach it on the pulpit, and they put a guilt trip on people's minds and on their hearts, and those people don't ever want to be labeled as an unbeliever, so they stick around in a church that wants to control their lives. And when the Bible should be in control of your life, right? So and that's what that all is all about. And so we have to be careful and how we read these verses, folks, because if you misapply them, then it's easy to teach a heresy. and it's just simply not what it's teaching here. Everybody starts off in the same direction. Some people continue on, and you know what their reward is? They see Jesus Christ, and they believe Him. Some people, they don't glorify God, and they go their own way, and that Jesus Christ never comes. Why? Because they denied God the Father. And if you deny God the Father, you deny the Son. And if you deny the Son, if you say you did, and then you get up to Jesus Christ, you say, oh, I think He's just a man. Guess what? You just turned around and went the other way. Right? And you've denied Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, whosoever, verse 23 in John 2:23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Right? The same hath not the Father. And so Judas is a very good example of a guy starting out on the right path, folks. He started out just like the other disciples. And he started out believing in God. He did. He believed in God. He started out that way. And Judas went out and he preached the gospel Jesus told him to preach. And Judas went out and he healed people. And Judas went out and he raised the dead. And it wasn't until later, folks. It wasn't until later that it was shown that he was an unbeliever. And how was it shown? Because he didn't trust in Christ. He went out and did his own thing. He went out from among them. And Jesus Christ warned them about it. He said, Have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? He asks the question. And nobody could answer it. Not even Peter, with the mouth he had, even dared answer that question. Because they didn't even understand what Jesus was saying right there. They didn't. They had no idea. They didn't even know how to explain that. But he does. He asked that question in 670 and it goes unanswered. And so we have to be careful, folks. We do. On how we interpret these verses. Because if you interpret them wrongly, then you end up teaching heresy. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Because I have an unction from the Holy One, folks, I can know some things about... the Bible says I know all things, but I know about this Antichrist fellow, and I know about Antichrist. Okay? I know about this. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and I know when somebody is saved and when they're not. How? Because when I ask them, you can tell if somebody has trusted Jesus Christ by what comes out of their mouth. You can. You say, well, I believe in that you have to go to church every week. But that's not what the Bible says. Right? And I know how I got saved, and that's how you should have gotten saved. By trusting in Jesus Christ. By not denying Jesus Christ. Okay? So I know all things. Why? Because I have an unction from the Holy One. Who's the Holy One? And folks, the devils know who the Holy One is. They do. Mark 1:24. He is the Holy One of God. And the devils know this. And we're almost done. Matthew 1:24. Jesus meets up with these devils. 1:24, saying, and there was in their synagogue a man, an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Who's the Holy One? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Holy One. And you know what He does at the moment you get saved? He gives you an anointing. That's what it's defined as later on as you read. It's an unction. You've got an unction from the Holy One. You've got an anointing. And you know who anoints you? The Comforter. And that's who anointed Jesus Christ. The Comforter. He anointed Him. But the moment I trusted in Jesus Christ, He gave me an unction, anointing, which is of the Holy Ghost inside me. And immediately upon my belief, that's when I got that. Right? And that's when you got that. And that means the truth is in you, folks. It's in you. If you've trusted, if you've believed, it's in you already. And you know what it shows me? It shows me, and I know, it always, the Holy Ghost always tells me the truth. He never lies. And now let's not confuse the issue here. If you have set up an idol in your heart, and you don't want to believe the truth that is being shown to you, God will use somebody that wants to lie to you. Now, he won't lie to you. God won't lie to you. He cannot lie. The Bible is very, very clear on that in Titus 1:2. He cannot lie. But there's a bunch of little spirits up in heaven that are saying, I'll go lie to that man because he doesn't want the truth. And so you'll get a lie, but it won't come from the direct mouth of God, but it'll come from somebody else that really wants to lie to you, that he allows to lie to you. Okay? And so God does not lie to you, but he can send a devil that wants to lie to you. And you've got the truth in you, folks. And God's always, the Holy Ghost inside you, always is going to give you the truth. And he will. And he shows you how you're saved and how you're not. He shows you by what you believe, you're either an antichrist or you are in Christ. That's what he shows you. And everybody that's a believer knows that because he's got that inside them. All right, and we'll go ahead and stop there and we'll stop the lesson there for today. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the unction that you've given us, that the moment we trusted you, and we're thankful that you sent the Holy Ghost to guide us into all truth, the Bible says, and to teach us to bring back to remembrance whatsoever we have heard of thee. And we're so thankful for that, Lord, and we just pray that our minds would be looking towards you, our hearts would be looking towards you, the author and finisher of our faith, and waiting for this earth to pass away and for you to make a new heaven or create a new heaven and a new earth. And we're so thankful for those promises, Father, and we pray again that you would just bless the service today. For Christ's sake, amen.